The Last Summer Before Everything, by Aaron Park, read by Samuel O'Brien. Here we go. Chapter 1. The heat breaks. The heat in Oak Haven didn't just sit on you. It pressed against your lungs, heavy and wet, like a wool blanket soaked in brine. It was August 1998, the kind of August where the sky turned the color of a bruised plum by noon and stayed that way until the sun gave up. I stood on the corner of Mill and Fourth, the soles of my second-hand Converse sticking to the asphalt with every hesitant step. The air smelled of sulfur, old rain, and the metallic tang of the river, which ran sluggish and brown behind the chain-link fences of the industrial district. I adjusted the strap of my canvas bag, feeling the weight of the internship application tucked inside like a secret weapon. Thorne Paper Mill, Summer Internship Program, Department, Archives and Logistics. It wasn't the glamorous tech startup internship I had dreamed of during those long, sleepless nights in the library, scrolling through job listings on the dial-up modem until the screen burned into my retinas. But it was a foot in the door, a ticket out. Oak Haven was a rust belt corpse that the city planners were trying to bury under layers of silicon and fiber optics, and I needed to be on the winning team. I crossed the street, dodging a pothole filled with oily water that reflected the skeletal remains of the old textile factory. My sneakers squeaked against the clean pavement as I approached the Thorne building. It wasn't the mill itself. That was a sprawling brick behemoth 3 miles east, belching gray smoke into the stagnant air, but the corporate offices, a glass and steel monolith that looked like it had been dropped from the future, jarring and out of place amidst the peeling paint and wrought iron of the historic district. The marble lobby was cool, a shock to my skin that made me shiver despite the humidity. The floor was polished to a mirror finish, reflecting the fluorescent lights above in a dizzying grid. I looked down at my shoes. They were scuffed at the toes, the white rubber yellowed by time and neglect. I felt a flush rise up my neck, hot and prickly. I could feel the eyes of the receptionist, a woman with hair dyed a severe shade of auburn, tracking my approach. She didn't smile. She just watched me, pen poised over a logbook, as if I were a specimen under glass. "Alara Vance?" she asked. Her voice was dry, like pages turning. "Yes," I said, trying to keep my voice steady. "I'm here for the intern orientation." "Mr. Thorne is expecting you," she said, not looking up. "Elevator. Second door on the left. Don't touch the walls." I walked past her, the click of my heels echoing too loudly in the vast empty space. The elevator was a cage of mirrors, reflecting my own awkward posture back at me from a dozen angles. I stared at my reflection. Hair pulled back in a severe ponytail that pulled at my temples, shirt buttoned to the top, knees pressed together. I looked like I was trying to disappear. I hated it. I hated the way the air conditioning made my skin crawl, the way the silence felt judgmental. When the door slid open on the third floor, the noise hit me first. The hum of servers, the clack of keyboards, the low murmur of voices discussing numbers that didn't mean anything to me. The corridor was lined with potted ferns that looked artificial, their leaves dusty and green in a way that felt wrong. I walked toward the end of the hall, where a sign read, "Executive Suites." The door to the corner office was open. I stopped, my hand hovering over the frame. Inside, a man in a charcoal suit was shouting into a phone. I recognized him from the local papers, though never in person. Silas Thorne. His face was red, veins bulging in his neck like cords on a drum. "I don't care what the union says, Silas," a voice said from the doorway behind me. "The liquidity is non-negotiable." I turned. Julian Thorne leaned against the doorframe, one leg crossed over the other, a cigarette dangling from his lips. He was wearing a white dress shirt that was unbuttoned at the collar. The sleeves rolled up to his elbows, revealing forearms that looked strong enough to crush stone. He looked nothing like his father. Where Silas was rigid and sharp, Julian was loose, fluid, like he was constantly moving even when he was standing still. He took a drag from the cigarette, the ember glowing bright orange in the dim hallway, then exhaled a plume of smoke that curled around his head like a halo. He didn't look at me immediately. He looked past me, down the hall, his eyes dark and unreadable. "You're early," he said. His voice was low, rough around the edges. "I was told to be on time," I said, my throat tight. I wanted to explain that I had practiced the walk, the posture, the smile, but I couldn't get any of it right. "Alara Vance, the intern." Julian pushed off the doorframe and stepped closer. The smell of tobacco and something else, something expensive and sharp, like cedarwood, washed over me. He stopped a few feet away, close enough that I could see the flecks of gold in his brown eyes. He looked at my shoes, then up to my face. "Nice shoes," he said. It wasn't a compliment. It was an observation.